unfinished business, that will come back to bite you. And today, God is saying, in a very clear, strong voice, deal with unfinished business.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome to Straight Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in for another edition with Senior Pastor Mark Jobe, author, and lead pastor at New Life Community Church here in Chicago. My name is Joshua Hollick, and today I'm here with Pastor Mark, and we're excited about what God's doing in the city. There are so many great churches. One of the greatest things Jesus did for the world was to build his church where people can come to know him. And you may not be a part of a church yet. And so, Pastor Mark, what would you say to somebody who says, I love Jesus, but I don't think church is all that important?
Yeah, and I have that conversation often with people, and it's like saying, I believe my family's important, but I don't want to hang out with them. And so Jesus Christ called us to be a follower of his, but to do it in the context of community. And I realize that you can listen to a message like this on the radio, or you can turn on your television or download a podcast, but it's different. Yeah. You need to be connected with a community of faith. New Life is one of those options. There's some great pastors and churches in and around the city of Chicago that I pray with, bless, and would highly recommend in those areas. So find a church that teaches the Word of God unashamedly, that it believes in the deity of Jesus Christ and salvation through his name, that clearly presents the gospel. New Life is one of those churches that's been expanding throughout Chicago. So, Joshua, as you mentioned, we're multi-location, which means that we're one church, but we currently meet in 21 locations around Chicago. We meet in communities like Little Village, which are primarily Mexican community, but we also meet in places like Lincoln Park or Lakeview that are more young professionals. We meet all the way as north as Rogers Park, all the way as south as Oak Forest, all the way west as Melrose or Montclair, all the way east as in Bridgeport. And so if you want to find one of our New Life locations, you can go to our website and click on locations, and you'll probably find something that's at least fairly close to where you live if you live in the Chicagoland area.
So, friends, our encouragement is find a good, healthy church to be a part of. And if you don't have one and you're looking for one and you've been blessed by the ministry of Straight Talk, check out newlifechicago.org. And come give us a visit. We'd love to meet you. We'd love to hear your story. And we believe that Christianity is meant to be lived with other Christians in the world, being a light. So come on out and check it out.
Thank you, Josh. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Straight Talk. Today, we conclude Pastor Mark's message called Adjusting Your Life to Cooperate with God, which also concludes our series called Experiencing God. We're in the book of Exodus chapter 4. Here's Pastor Mark.
Hey, you should have forgiven your father 3 years ago when God convicted you about it, and you had all this resentment and baggage that you held towards him, and you were full of anger and full of vile at him because of the things he did, because he wasn't there, because he abandoned you, because he left you. You've been so angry at him, and God convicted you and said, let him go, release him, forgive him. But you keep dragging that thing along and saying, one day I will, I'm not ready yet. One day I will, I'm not ready yet. And now you're in a relationship, and now he's proposed, your boyfriend has proposed to you, and you're about to get married, and he realizes, man, this is an angry, resentful woman. We get into this discussion and this vile and resentment comes out at me, and you're projecting all the anger of your father towards this relationship, and you scared your fiance now. He's like, whoa, I never saw that side of her. Now he's like, I'm not sure I want to get married to you. I never really knew this was you. Why? God told you to get rid of it a long time ago. And now it's 2 weeks before the wedding and everybody's afraid of it. And now they're talking about maybe we should call this thing off. Now you're in a crisis situation because you didn't deal with it when you should have dealt with it 4 years ago. Because undealt with obedience, procrastinated obedience, will eventually catch up to you in moments of transition. And at those moments of transition, it's very inconvenient to deal with it. I mean, they're at a hotel full of backpacks and so forth. They don't have a medical surgeon there. They don't have the right instruments. And now Moses on his deathbed, she's looking around for a knife. Her boys are scared stiff. They're not babies anymore. I mean, it's one thing to circumcise a baby. It's another thing to circumcise a 10-year-old. Come here, Junior. Mom, no, no. Come here. Come here. I mean, how inconvenient. He should have done it when he was a baby. When my son was born, they circumcised. I didn't even want to be there. It's like, whoa. It's going to give me nightmares. Poor little kid was crying. But you know, now he doesn't even remember it. It's good. No trauma. And guarantee you, Moses' kids remembered it. They're 25, still shuddering about it. Remember when Mom was chasing us with a knife in that whole scary motel, and it was just this thing, and she grabbed us, and oh! They're in therapy classes still to overcome the trauma of circumcision. Why? It never should have been that way, but Moses procrastinated on obedience. He should have done it a long time ago. But he waited for the wrong time and the wrong season. And some of us let the things build up. And then finally we have to deal with it. The very first wedding I ever did. I mean, I'm 21 years old, pastoring a church. Know very little about this. My first wedding. And I'm kind of nervous about it. I led this couple to the Lord. They were living together. Had a 7-year-old son already. I'm counseling. Go through the whole thing. Send out the wedding invitations. They're about the 2 days before the wedding. The bride comes up to me and she says, "Hey, Pastor, I have a little something I want to tell you." I said, "Tell me about it." She says, "Well, I don't know if this is important or not, but I thought I'd tell you." I said, "Well, tell me. What's going on?" She said, "Well, 7 years ago, me and my boyfriend, we got separated. I really needed money because I was desperate. I was out there. I was mad at him. So a friend of a friend said, I know a fast way for you to get money. I have a friend that needs to be legal in the country. He's from another country. If you marry him, he'll give you $5,000 and marry him. You don't have to sleep with him, nothing. It's just on paper, just to make him legal." She said, "So I married him. I haven't seen him. He's not around. And so I hope that doesn't change anything." I said, "Honey, it changes a lot. Because if I marry you now, it's called polygamy. That's illegal in this country. You can't have two husbands legally." I never slept with them. It's not legal in the eyes of God. But yeah, but we live in a country with laws. I can't double marry you now. It's illegal. So now invitations are out. This is a big secret in her life. It's days before the wedding. She's got to contact all the people she's invited and said, "The wedding's off." Well, why? Well, issues we got to deal with. Now, the very thing that was a big secret becomes a major issue, becomes a major stumbling block. She's got to tell her fiancé what she did, and it's a major mess. You know why? Because she should have dealt with it a long time ago. If you leave unfinished business undealt with, and you procrastinate in it, after time, it will catch up to you at the most inconvenient times in your life, and you will have to deal with it one way or another, but then it will be a crisis when you deal with it. The second thing I want you to understand about this is not only will it come back to haunt you at inconvenient times of transition, but also I want you to understand that you have to revisit unfinished business so you can move on to the next season. You see, Moses got stuck. God was calling him to be something, but God was telling him, "I'm not going to let you be that somebody until, first of all, you deal with the issues that I'm asking you to deal with." Several years back, about 11 years ago, my father got sick in Spain. He lived in Spain, and so my brother and I decided to make an emergency trip to go visit him because he was in the hospital and we weren't sure what was going on with him. And so we went to the airport, arranged this emergency buying of tickets and so forth. And when I got to the airport, I opened up my passport and I realized that my passport had expired. I'm like, "What am I going to do?" So I'm running around trying to figure out what I'm going to do. I said, "I'm going to have to try to get an emergency passport." So I watched my brother get on the plane and leave because he had no unfinished business. I was stuck at the borders of the new country. in the borders of the old country because I had unfinished business. And I was not allowed to leave. So I said, no problem, I'll just get this done. I thought I procrastinated, but no problem. Easy to get a passport, go in, explain the situation. Do you remember 11 years ago, the federal government closed down because of budget crunches? Do you remember that? They said, we're closed because we have not met our budget. Anybody remember that? Okay, all right. Most of you don't work for the federal government, I can tell. So I went down to the federal government. They said, we're closed. You can't get a passport. I said, what do you mean I can't get a passport? No, we're closed down until Washington figures out their budgetary problems. We're closed down. Now, if I would have done it before, I could have got the passport. But now I have a whole government agency closed down that's supposed to issue the passport. So I had to make dozens of calls, finally called someone in Washington that amazingly, miraculously called me back. Explain the situation. He said, only if your dad is dead will we issue you a passport. And I said, I've never heard of the most ludicrous thing in the world, that if my dad dies, I can go, but if he's on his deathbed, I can't go. If he dies and I'm not there, I'm going to be really mad, and a whole lot of people are going to be really mad too. He called me up and gave me a passport. I went down to the federal building. They opened up. The guard said, man, you must have really high connections because we're opening up this building for you to get this passport. I said, you don't even know the connections I have. You can't even imagine how high my connections go. Man, I'm not even going to tell you. He was like, whoa, this guy's the son of someone. I am the son of someone. And I got on that plane, and thankfully, my father passed away a week and a half later, and I was there 11 days before he died. I was there at his best. I talked to him, great conversation, passed away, but I was there. I was there. But you know what? It came to bite me at a very inconvenient time. It came at me. I should have done it a long time ago. I would have been stuck in the old season. Some of you are trying to move into a new season of life, and you keep running against the border, running against the frontier. You can't get beyond it because God is saying to you, you need to finish the business in this territory before I let you go to the next territory.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Adjusting Your Life to Cooperate with God. It's from our series called Experiencing God. And if you'll stay tuned, we can tell you how you can get a free copy of this message as well as information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Exodus chapter 4 with his message called Adjusting Your Life to Cooperate with God.
And you're stuck in one season, although you should be in another season, because you have unfinished business in that season, and God is not allowing you to go further until you deal with your issues. Notice another thing here. Notice that it was Moses' wife who had to do what Moses should have done a long time ago. And I want you to notice that although she did it, she resented that she had to do it. You bloody groom, she says. And she wasn't even English. You bloody groom. You know why? She had to do what Moses should have done. And I'm going to guarantee, listen, sometimes your wife is going to step up and do what you should have done. But you know what? Your wife isn't going to be happy about it. She's going to step up and do what you should have done. But you know, she's going to say, why in the world did you do it? And some wives will step in and say, okay, hubby, if you're not going to do it, I'm going to do it. But you know what? It should have been done by you. It should have been your responsibility. And you're making me mop up after your mess when you should have done it a long time ago. And some of your wives are sitting down with your 12-year-old son and trying to explain the birds and the bees and sexuality and all that, because she's been after you for a long time to talk to your son about it, and you've been saying, well, I'll do it, I'll do it, I'll do it. Now he's 13 years old. He knows more than you and your wife about sexuality and all that by the time you try to explain it to him. And she's doing your job, but listen, man, you should have done it a long time ago. There's a degree of spiritual responsibility that men, as men, we need to take for our families, for our children, for our household. And oftentimes, the dysphorers will set in and say, okay, I'll do it for you because you're not doing it. But deep inside, they resent having to do the job that their husband should have done before. Listen, men. We need to take responsibility for our household. I run into men that sometimes they think that all that responsibility, the spiritual stuff and so forth, that's their wife's job. So they're going to get back home and their wife is trying to, you know, pray over a meal for them and talk to their kids and deal with the problems their child is having at school. And the husband is sitting back on some couch dripping Dunkin' Donuts coffee on their pot belly with their switcher changing, saying, okay, woman, hope you get those kids straightened out. And wait a second. Get off of that chair. Put on a clean t-shirt. Put that changer down. Meet with your son and daughter. Let them know that you're an engaged father, that you care about their education, that you care about their friends, that you care about their heart, that you care about their spiritual life, that you are their father and you are engaged, and you don't just go out to win money, put it on the table, and expect your wife to do the rest, but you are a father that cares about the destiny of that household. That's an engaged father. Take responsibility. Some of the women are doing what the men should be doing, and they're resenting it all along. They're like Zipporah saying, I am surely a bloody bridegroom. But they're resenting having to do what the men should have done all along. Listen, we're living in one of the... It sickens my heart that we've had to call an emergency meeting in the city of Chicago with politicians and social workers and spiritual leaders. And the whole nation is looking at our city across the world in the newspapers, in television. And what makes us infamous is that we've already slaughtered and killed in this city a whole bunch of teenage, especially teenage boys. And now we're giving our policemen bigger guns to solve the problem. And I want to say, where are the fathers? Politicians cannot solve heart problems. It's not going to be legislation that brings marriages together and turns the hearts of the fathers back to their children. It's not new laws that deals with the spiritual problems of our family and our communities. Politics are limited. Laws are limited. Law enforcers are limited. It's the Church of the Living God. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's men that take their values and their families and their leadership that make a difference in the community. Don't say, oh, I'm glad they're doing something about it. Listen, we need to be doing something about it. We are the people. We are the church. We are the fathers. We are the marriages. We are the people that should be changing our communities, our families. We take responsibility. This is our city. Amen? So not only do we revisit unfinished business so we can move on to the next season, but we need to revisit unfinished business so the blessing of God can return to our life. When Moses had unfinished business, the blessing of God was withdrawn from his life. And God was about to take his life. And it wasn't until he obeyed that suddenly the hand of God released him and let him go to the next season. And suddenly he experienced the blessing of God. You know what I discover? A lot of us want the blessing of God before we obey. We say, bless me, God, and I'll obey. Instead of God, I'll obey now and allow the blessing to follow. How many of you know there's a big difference? Some of you are buying a lotto ticket and saying, oh, Lord, please bless it. Jesus, I will tithe. Oh, Lord, I'll give 10% if you just let me win the lotto. When I win the lotto, then I'm going to tithe. Oh, God, bless me. Oh, God, do whatever you need to do, God, on this. Where's the holy oil? Hey, Pastor Mark, can you pray for this lotto ticket? No, I'm not going to pray for your lotto ticket. You know, don't tell you that once God blesses you, then you're going to tithe or whatever. Let me ask you this. God says, obey now in what you have. Are you obeying now in your finances? Are you obeying now in what God has given you? And then blessing follows once you obey. But don't say, bless me first and then I'll obey. Start blessing God now, obeying God now, and watch the blessing trail behind you, not the other way around. Is anybody listening this morning? Hey, don't tell me, hey, Lord, okay, Lord, if my living boyfriend finally proposes to me, if he finally gives me the ring, if he finally says, marry me, then I'm going to stop having sex with him, I'm going to start living in purity, and we're going to have a good marriage. If he proposes to me, God, if you bless me, I will bless you back. No, it doesn't work that way. You start blessing God now. You start living in obedience now, and watch God bless you in obedience, not the other way around. Zipporah and Moses didn't say, well, heal Moses first, get him off, and then we'll think about circumcision. They obeyed right away, and then the blessing of God came upon their life. Some of you are wondering why it's not there. And God is saying, obey, obey, and watch what I do. And then lastly, verses 27 through 31, then the Lord said to Aaron, go into the desert to meet Moses. So he met Moses at the mountain of God and kissed him. Then Moses told Aaron everything that the Lord had sent him to say, and also about the miraculous signs that he had commanded him to perform. Moses and Aaron brought together all the elders of the Israelites, and Aaron told them everything the Lord had said to Moses. He also performed the signs before the people, and they believed. And when they heard that the Lord was concerned about them and had seen their misery, they bowed down and they worshiped. The last step is it will involve a willingness to take risky steps of obedience into your next season. You have to say, okay, God, I will obey. I will go into the next season with faith, believing you. I will obey. And let it result for your glory and your honor. I will obey God. And that's exactly what Moses did. He went into the next season and then he saw the hand of God manifest. And I really believe that the main message that God has put on my heart this morning for you is this. What about unfinished business? You see, God doesn't want anybody to be stuck here. God wants everybody to grow. Go, grow, grow, grow. Next season, next level in God, next place, next level of growth, next level of faith, next level of maturity. For you, for your family, for your marriage, for your spiritual life. Next level of ministry. But some of you are stuck in the quadrant of staleness. Because you refuse to obey what God has already made clear to your life. And you're stuck in that quadrant. Not moving forward. And God says, unfinished business, deal with it. I don't know what your unfinished business is. Maybe God has spoken to you about someone that you need to forgive. And you've never written that letter. You've never had that conversation. Maybe God has spoken to you about something that you need to make right with someone, but you've never done that. You haven't stepped out. You haven't done that. You haven't. Maybe God has spoken to you about a relationship that you need to break off that doesn't honor Him, and you've never broken that relationship off. Maybe by this time you should have taken the step of believer's baptism, but you've postponed that step of obedience because you're afraid of giving a testimony or whatever it may be. Maybe by this time you should have bowed your knee before God and say, God, I surrender my life to you, but you're a sympathizer with Christianity, but you haven't engaged in Christianity. Maybe by this time you should be practicing some principles in the Word of God, but you postponed it and haven't practiced your principles. Maybe by this time you should be living as a person that's sexually abstinent, as a single, saying my body's a temple of the Holy Spirit, but you haven't taken that jump. You're still playing around sexually because you've never taken that step. Maybe by this time God has convicted you about some issues in your life, going back to the old places, going back to the old neighborhood, doing the old things, and God is saying that's a part of your past, but you keep delaying the obedience, saying, one day I'll obey, maybe later, God, but you refuse to take the steps that God wants you to take now. It's delayed obedience. It's unfinished business. And that will come back to bite you. And today God is saying, in a very clear, strong voice, deal with unfinished business.
This has been the conclusion of our message called Adjusting Your Life to Cooperate with God. This also ends Pastor Mark's series called Experiencing God. We hope that you've enjoyed the series. As I mentioned in the middle of our program, we have a great way for you to get this broadcast for free. Just subscribe to our Straight Talk Radio app. It's free, and you can find it at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 400 other messages, great resources, and a link to our New Life Community Church page, as well as Pastor Mark's 2020 vision and our New Life locations. We hope that you check it out. There are 27 life-giving churches around Chicago, and if you would like to know more information about them, just go to www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. Be sure you tell them you heard about New Life from the Straight Talk Radio program. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, myself, and our Straight Talk team. We thank you so much for listening. Please do tune in again and tell a friend about our Straight Talk Radio program. Have a great evening, and God bless.